Praise God. I know that our last time together, we were discussing about fulfilling your call, and time ran out. But praise God, He's faithful to bring it back. Amen. And there are areas in fulfilling our call that we've got to have an understanding. And we discussed some things about qualifications in fulfilling your call. And I just want to review them for a second, because there was 8 that we discussed, and the first qualification was to successfully complete each phase of testing. If you cannot complete the phase of testing, you get retested. If you can't pass that phase, you will never fulfill the call that God has for you. You'll sit and watch everybody else do the things for God, and you'll be a little soul seed sower, but you'll never fulfill the true calling of God in your life until you're willing to allow God to bring you to the place of testing and pass those tests. Successfully complete each phase of testing in your life. The second thing we talked about is we must know the caller. You must really understand that you are called. And if you are called, you don't want to reject it. The third thing we talked about was to know your call and season. Listen, your call consists of whatever God wants you to do right now. The calling is the call of God right now. I know many people have been prophesied, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. That's wonderful. But God has not asked you to follow a prophecy. He's asked you to follow Him now. Amen. That's what moves people out of position, by not knowing their call and their season. Listen, it's amazing how sometimes God will all of a sudden have you learn something for something specific. See, if everybody's chasing prophecies and all other things and their emotions and everything, then you're going to miss what God is trying to teach you right now to fulfill your call. Does everybody understand that? So your call and fulfilling your call is a process that you are in right now, that you are serving God by even obeying Him. So even in the men and women that are in a discipleship house, you are fulfilling the call of God. Why? Because you're learning how to become a disciple, a warrior. You're learning the truth that's going to not only set you free, but free others. See, too many people are moving out trying to do things without fulfilling their call, without going through the process. And one of the worst things that you and I could do is get ahead of God, because that is not God's will. What happens is you try to get your inheritance in the flesh, and it will hurt you instead of help you. Just like the prodigal son. It didn't help him, did it? Amen? So you must know your call and the season of your call. In other words, right now, you know, my wife came home today. She was exercising a few days ago and watching the news, and a commercial came on, something about something, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go to this. So my wife said, babe, I got to go to this. And I said, all right, so that's what's gone, I got peace about it, go ahead. So I came home today, and she went to this, and she came home, and she said, honey, I learned so much is phenomenal, and I know what God's trying to do in certain things and whatever, and it's about writing grants and all kinds of other stuff and whatever, and certain things that are available to the body of Christ and so forth. And those are things that, you know, it's like, if you don't know how to play the game in certain areas, you don't get it. Amen. Amen? It's like hidden treasures, that if you don't know the combination of certain things, you can't open the lock. And also the Holy Spirit said, that's what I've called her for right now. I'm training her up to fulfill the rest of her call. And she came home to me. She said, honey, she said, I just got another full-time job. I thought, oh, hallelujah. And but I knew in my spirit, the Holy Spirit said that to me, that this is a part of her training right now to continue fulfilling her call. So see, things that you're going through even right now, if you're doing something that's according to the will of God, it's fulfilling your call. If you're doing something according to your flesh or your desires or your emotions, it's hindering your call. Amen. So that's what I'm talking about, knowing your call. You know, in your calling and your season. Oh, hallelujah. The fourth thing we talk about is you must be completely sold out, no matter what. You know, most people aren't completely sold out. I talked to a gentleman today on the phone who was a crack addict. But he owns a business with his father to inherit a business. And he said it's the most important thing in his life. I said, too bad. I said, so what happens when you go to jail? Or you get sick and you go in the hospital? Or you die? What are you good to anyone then? He said, well, I've just come out of prison for over a year. I thought, man, you ain't learned it yet. So I explained all these things to him, but he wanted to be, he's in charge of three groups and so forth, three, I guess they do construction, and he's three crews he's in charge of, and his father. I said, so what about your father? Isn't he going to be supportive of these, hallelujah. Isn't he going to be supportive of you getting help? He says, well, I don't know. I said, well, man, you got to come out of stop and pleasing God, as pleasing man, and start pleasing God. I said, don't you want to fulfill your call? Well, you know, I didn't waste any more time. I told him what was what, and when he's ready to do whatever it takes, give me a call. Hallelujah. But see, you know, you got to be completely sold out. Nothing can be in your way. And anything that's in your way, you're willing to move aside. Or you'll never fulfill your call. And what a terrible thing to get in front of God. You know, because when we stand before Him, I mean, it's just going to be like a whoosh, and you're going to see everything. When I was before the Lord, I saw everything. Before you could even ask a question, before the thought could be manifested in your mind, the answer was already given and you saw beyond. When God speaks something to you, it isn't about present. It's about eternity. It's like a widescreen TV comes on. It comes all the way around you. And you can see everything when He says something. And it rips through your being. And His love radiates. And one of the worst things that we can do is stand before Him and see what we missed. I mean, it won't last long. But to see what we miss by not fulfilling our call. Amen? You must be willing to be mentored. If you're not willing to be mentored, you'll never fulfill your call. Because if you're not under authority, you have none. And the devil knows, and he'll eat you up. He'll destroy you, your family, your businesses, and everything. It may be just a little bit at a time. But you'll be miserable because you can never fulfill your call. There's just something you know you're supposed to do more. You'll try and witness to make yourself feel good. You'll try to give money here, give money there to try and feel good. But it'll only be a moment of feeling good about yourself. Because that's what the world does, doesn't it? It gives a quick little fix. That's why we use drugs and alcohol. We try to drown those things of torment. So you must be willing to be mentored. Amen. One of the sixth things that you must do is resist reasoning. Because reasoning will always move you off course. Always move you off course. That's called butt ministry. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. We're the head, not the tail, right? You must also learn dominion. Jesus said something very powerful. He said, all things I've given unto you. So everything He owns is yours, and everything you own is His. But the things that you now own, you must no dominion, because you don't really own them, but you have dominion. Anything that's owned, there is dominion. So we must learn dominion in the body. We must learn dominion. Listen, the Bible says that the heavenlies are taken by force. There's too many weenies in the body of Christ. Too many woes is me's. Too many. Too many people willing to give up and fall in the hands of Satan. Too many people not willing to give up their life for Christ. Wannabes, but never bees. Watching everybody else fulfill their call and sitting back in torment. You must learn dominion. And the eighth thing is you must learn to wait on God. Must learn to wait on God. Those are eight qualifications, and the number eight means new beginnings. Amen? New beginnings. Praise God. Would you turn to the... let's go somewhere. Go to John 5. John 5. Oh, hallelujah. Did you ever realize that the more you're out of fellowship, the worse you get? Oh man, you can watch every TV Christian station. You can listen to every tape, but there's something different about fellowship. Fellowship. God ordains fellowship. Amen? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with watching Christian TV stations and so forth. But you can't live off of those areas. They help feed your spirit. But there's nothing greater than being together in unity, where the anointing begins to break the yoke. Where you begin to see yourself. Ugh. Amen? Why? Because to fulfill the call of God in your life, you must overcome self. Or you can never fulfill it. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Boy, is it hot in here. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. You missed that one. We'll get to that. 5. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now, isn't that powerful? I mean, if Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, just think what it means for me and you. We can do nothing of ourselves. That's why self must be overcome. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Wow. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. See, so there's an area where we must overcome self. Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." In other words, to fulfill your calling has nothing to do with you. To fulfill your calling has everything to do with him. If you're in it, then he's out of it. If you're out of it, he's in it. Is everybody with me? Because God does not associate with self. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4, please. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. Bless your holy name. You know, you may, first of all, let me share something with you. In fulfilling your call, it was prophesied in Isaiah of course, it represented John who was going to come. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. You know, it's to prepare so that the way of the Lord can flow through you. It's fulfilling your call. See, in everything that you and I are doing, there's preparation. So in fulfilling your call, there's the present and there's preparation at the same time. Is everybody with me? There's present and preparation at the same time. What? Preparing for the future, but fulfilling your call in the present. So in this, there's preparation. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Well, let me tell you, first of all, God came through a man, didn't he? He called himself Jesus. When the Lord exposed himself to Moses, what did Moses, the Lord came down to Moses and he says, listen, I've been hearing the cries of my people for 400 years and I've decided to come down. And he did. And he said, now I'm sending you. God always used man. Why? Because he created him in his image and likeness. It was lost when sin entered in the fall of man. Now the Holy Spirit, regeneration of the Holy Spirit, and through the blood of the Lamb, God has restored me and you into his image and likeness. But the devil does not want you to know that. So for fulfilling your call, self must have nothing to do with it. Again, if you're in it, God's not. If you're out of it, God's in it. We must be prepared to change at any time. And I don't mean your clothes. You must be prepared to change. Paul said, I became many things that many could be saved. I went to a biker outreach this weekend. It was quite interesting. I was blessed. I began to weep. I had tears in my eyes. And I sat in this bar in the back called Fast Eddie's. A biker bar. Well, of course, they weren't serving booze or anything. They brought a Christian biker band in there. And I stepped back and I looked and I said, Lord, look what you're doing. Look what you're doing. And I saw these people come in, hardcore bikers that loved Jesus. And some of them gave their lives to the Lord. Some of them were freed up. Some of them were still bound. And the Lord said to me, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I believe that's why he brought us in there and made connection. And we made a connection with them. And it was powerful. But you know, God said, you must be willing to change. You must be willing to change at any time. You can be whatever he wants you to be. Every character that's in that Bible is you at every specific time and season. When it's time to be Moses, you're Moses. When it's time to be David, you're David. When it's time to be Ezra, you're Ezra. When it's time, you must be willing to change. I've seen it in my life as I began my walk with the Lord. I began to become all parts of that Bible in every area. When it's time to become Elijah, it's Elijah. Why? Because you are being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That's why without the Holy Spirit in your life and fellowship in your life, you become religious, bound to bondages of the letter, and not able to be able to change by the Spirit of God when he needs you the most. You must be willing to change, and whenever it takes, at any time. When it's time to be a carpenter, you become a carpenter. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to what? Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, be faithful. Be faithful in what God has given you right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. And don't worry about what's your past. He's the God of now. Fulfill and be faithful right now. With what? Lowliness, not haughtiness. And gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. In other words, putting up with everybody's garbage. Amen? And endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, which just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And in you all. If you're not willing to allow these changes to come and to be cooperative and submissive to the things of God to fulfill your call, somebody must pick it up. Does everybody understand it? Somebody else must pick it up. Why? Because it becomes a drag to the body of Christ. It's like a net that has a hole in it, and many souls are escaping because somebody's not willing to fulfill their call. You must have a desire to fulfill the call of God on your life. You must have a desire. It's not about becoming acknowledged in your call. Acknowledgement has nothing to do with fulfilling your call. You do not promote your call. Because first of all, it's not your call. It's His. That's all He's doing, is allowing His will to manifest through you. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It didn't say they were the gifts of you. They said there was the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, how people lose that. Then they take out of context that gifts and calling are without reservations and stuff like that. That's got nothing to do with that. It's about something in Jewish. It's got nothing to do. But they take that out. Oh, yeah, the gifts are, you know, baloney. I've seen people lose their gifts because they've been broken covenant with God. Why? Because the gifts are the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? They're not the gifts of man. They're not guaranteed to you if you're unrighteous. Hello? No, I've seen gifts manifest in an individual that's not right for a period of time, but eventually it will lift. It will lift. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Is everybody okay? Amen. So we must walk worthy. Now let me share a couple of hindrances. We want to talk about some hindrances. Besides self. Hallelujah. The first hindrance I want to share with you is called worldly allurements. Things that allure you. Like the love of money. Worldly things that draw you. Worldly. Cool. The second thing I want to share with you is, let's go to 1 Samuel 17. I'll give you more understanding. 1 Samuel 17. Praise you, Lord. To God be the glory. 1 Samuel 17. I believe it's 39. I'm not going to go to every single one of these. We'll be here all night. Worldly allurements, and love of money is the first one. The second one is in Samuel 1, 17 and verse 39. Would you read it with me? So Saul clothed David with his armor and put on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. He tried to what? Walk. For he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. One of the things that we must be careful of is using worldly defenses. Worldly defenses and weapons that don't associate with your spiritual call. Is everybody with me? These are hindrances, and using worldly defenses and weapons do not associate with your spiritual calling. David was trying to use something from somebody else, wasn't he? He's trying to use something worldly to try and defeat something spiritually. Goliath was nothing but a demon. He was an offspring. He was a giant. But God did not use the common weapons, did he? In fact, David grabbed what? How many stones? Five. Fivefold ministry. Hello? And he took one of those, swung it around, which nobody ever did that before. Nobody tried to approach Goliath with a stone. Everybody came out screaming with this sword that they couldn't even carry. And they died. But there's something that David came out with. He said, you come out with a sword and I come out in the name of the Lord. See, David took his spiritual weapon and God turned that spiritual weapon into a stone. And that stone struck right between the eyes, right in the brain, and killed him. Hindrances. The first one is allurements of the world, especially with the love of money. Money is the number one ploy that the devil uses to manipulate individuals. The second with that is, of course, lust. But the second thing is using worldly defenses and weapons that do not associate with your spiritual calling. Those are things that will hinder fulfilling your call. The third thing is discouragement. Man, do not hang around with people that do not have a desire in fulfilling the call of God in their life. Don't get near them. Why? Because those demons will bite you and bring you down. The Bible says that bad company, what? Corrupts good habits. Get away from individuals that do not want to fulfill their call. They may be a wannabe, but they're not willing to do be. The fourth thing, unbelief. Unbelief. I just don't believe it. You know, people don't realize that why they're being obedient in the present, that they're fulfilling the call of God. And many people don't believe that obedience in the present is fulfilling the call of God. They're still looking to fulfill the call of God, and they're actually missing the call of God because they're not looking in the present. Is everybody with me? Yes, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, you better do what's right before your table right now. That's why Paul said, you better not worry about tomorrow, or you better do if the Lord wills. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth thing is worldly possessions. Those are hindrances to individuals. Worldly possessions. People are out there working and trying to make a living because they have so much possessions, they're trying to maintain them and keep them. You must ask yourself, what would you do if you didn't have a job right now? What would be the first thing you'd be willing to give up? Oh, are you kidding me? I'll do everything I can to keep that. Is everybody with me? I understand this. Worldly possessions hinder people because they begin to work, they get in debt. Let me tell you, Satan's greatest weapon we know is deception. And one of the greatest deceptions he has is, hey, I got a loan for you. Interest free. Come on, you can write all the checks you want. I won't charge you anything for 5 months. And if you're faithful in writing all those checks, I'll increase your limit. And I gladly put you in debt for eternity so you can't serve God, so that worldly possessions are now your stumbling block because you got all of this stuff. Hello. Come on, we got to understand these things. These are things that hinder the fulfilling of your call. I love that one where somebody goes out and buys a car, tells me they've been blessed by God. Praise God. Look at the Lord bless me. It's wonderful. You have any payments? Well, yeah. $6,000 a month, you know. Oh, that's a wonderful blessing. I'm glad I don't serve your God. Oh, hallelujah. People get themselves in debt and they can't serve God. They're too busy trying to pay off or keep their possessions. What's the next one? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thank you. Oh, 6 meaning what? Man, family ties. We better go to Luke 9. And that way it can be more identified. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 9, I think that's it. Well, anyways, we'll go there anyways. Luke 9. Oh, here we go. Go to 59. Go here. I'll start at 57. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? I wouldn't want to miss that one. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor, I'm never leaving here. Are you kidding? I'm staying here forever. I'm packing. I'm going with you. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Family ties. What else did he say? He said, listen, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, and your children. You got to be willing to leave them to follow me, or you cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean you throw your family away. Does everybody understand that? Doesn't mean you pack them up and send them to Jamaica or Alaska. Amen. Doesn't mean you send them on a permanent vacation. What he's saying is that he must be first. He must be first. God gave his family to be overseers and to raise them according to the will of God, not for someone else to. Amen. Now that you know the truth, God will begin to restore things. And as you're faithful, you'll see your whole house saved. If you're not faithful, you'll watch your house slowly diminish and be destroyed. Hallelujah. Number 7. Burdens and weights and sins will be a hindrance. How many people pick up everybody's burden? Now listen, the Bible didn't say to carry that burden constantly. The representation of a burden is pick up your brother's burdens or your sister's, is to help them. Not to be sucked up in the ring with them is woe is me and everything else. Burdens of heaviness are associated with the spirit of oppression. And the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to relieve people and heal them from the oppression of the devil. Amen. Weights and burdens and sins. And the 8th one, which we want to start a new beginning again, is false imagery and hindrances are hindrances. Let me share this with you. In the area where Satan's greatest weapon is a deception, he begins to give you, you know, the devil can give you a vision, you know. The Bible says that he comes as an angel of light. You know, when people got down and worshiped the devil, as he came in, let me tell you about somebody. I had a guy in our discipleship program, and he came in, and this guy could not settle down. He couldn't stop prophesying to everybody. What was he doing? Promoting self. Man, I got a word of the Lord for you. I got a word of the Lord for you. I got a word of the Lord for you. Anyways, I asked the Holy Spirit how he went. I kept seeing him associating with this familiar spirit. And I would see this thing. In fact, this familiar spirit became a teddy bear to him. And he held it all the time. Now, it wasn't physical. This is what I saw in the spirit. And I said, Lord, how do you want to go about this? I don't want to lose him. And he said, bring him in the main room and let everyone share what they see. In other words, express, not about beating down, but seeing fruits. Bible says, judge by the fruits. So we went around the room some of the guys said, you know, man, I love you. He says, but you know, you're always talking that God is talking to you and trying to give me something. And as a matter of fact, you never stop talking. And it just went around the room and went around the room about, you know, God gave me this and God gave me that and whatever. And you could see that all of these guys that were given, they were pouring out love. Pouring out love to this man. And this guy kept having, like he was saying, I see this and I see that. False imagery. One night, he began to share with me, and he shared with everyone. He said, listen, the Lord woke me up the other night, and an angel appeared in my room. And I came out to the living room, and I began to worship him, and he had a big Star of David on his chest. Now, why would an angel carry a Star of David? No way. If it was an angel, he would have said, don't do that. So I know he was granola'd. Nutty and fruity. He was associating with familiar spirits. And what happens is they give you false imagery. False imagery. You know, some people will prophesy in your life, and it isn't the Holy Spirit, it's a familiar spirit to bring you off course with a false imagery. And that's where you must know it by your walk and taking time with God. Or you'll go flowing off on every wind of doctrine. Amen. False imagery is a hindrance. And when you begin to learn how to overcome that and wait on God, you'll find that new beginnings begin to manifest. Is everybody with me? Those are hindrances. You know, the Lord says you have a holy calling. You have a heavenly calling. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. First Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 17. Is everybody there? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches, was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while circumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. You are called while a slave, do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of what? Men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. So that's just like saying, listen, remain in that state in which you were called until that's fulfilled, and then you go to the next. Then you go to the next. Never try to fulfill someone else's calling. Never fulfill somebody else's calling. You fulfill the calling of God in your life. Remember, the final result is the same purpose. Expand the kingdom of God and bring home as many souls as possible. Amen? But there is an area, I want to share something very powerful. Callings are also passed down. Callings are passed down. Jesus was the prime person in the natural realm who was fulfilling the call of God. What did he do? He passed it down. How is it passed down? By the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why he said something very powerful. He says, and you would do greater things than I. Why? Callings that are passed down should be improved. Any of my successors or individuals that have been received the inheritance that God has passed down to me and they receive from this office should improve my calling. Does everybody understand that? So all you men in the discipleship house and women and so forth that are serving in this ministry and you're going to stay and serve in this ministry, then that inheritance and calling is passed down unto you in God's perfect timing, and then you should be able to improve that call. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. So these things are passed down, aren't they? In other words, no desire to serve or to call, then you're not called. If there's not a desire in you to serve the Lord, then you're not called. There's people who call, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I need a place to stay. What, are you interested in serving the Lord? Well, I really, you know, I need... He's not called. See ya. I'm not a mission. This is a place for training. This is a place for Holy Ghost boot camp. Why? Well, then maybe you can open a mission. Amen? If that's part of your calling, what you've done is you've gained all of this training, the anointing's been passed down, all those callings. What are you going to do? You're going to expand and improve the calling. Something that I couldn't do here. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Many people are in positions and aren't called. They become religious because they're out of their position of their calling. Oh, hallelujah. I want to use an example of Peter. Peter is powerful. I love how God dealt with Peter. Think about Peter's calling. What was Peter? He was a fisherman. Then he became a fisher of men. Amen? first thing, we're going to go through this. I think this will be good for us. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Callings. There are specific areas, like we said, callings and seasons. All right? And if you follow Peter's life, you're going to see how his callings, how his calling began to change. But in true reality, he was fulfilling his calling. But in natural sight, you may think, well, man, his calling changed. No, it improved. It grew. More and more and more. And John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, we see that Simon and Peter's brother, all of these were first what? They were called. They were called. What were they called to be? Disciples. He said, "Follow me." Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 10. You first must be what? Called. The word called means invited. You must have an understanding and a desire to not only fulfill your call, but to realize that you have been called. Matthew chapter 10. Is everybody there? Verse 1. And when he what? Called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? Power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all the kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases, didn't he? What did he do? He called them. He said, "Listen, you are my disciples." Here it is. There wasn't anything that they had to do. He just said, "Man, I've given you power already. I've given you..." The problem is most believers don't know they have it. Isn't that what the devil wants you to know? Is that you don't know? That's what the devil wants, right? That's why people are still preaching the baptism of John and not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's it doing? It's preventing the power of Christ to flow through individuals to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and raise the dead. Oh, hallelujah. They were called an apostle. An apostle was one that is what? Sent. Amen. He said he called his 12 disciples and he gave them power. Gave them power. What are you doing with the power? You know, this is where you got to sit back and look. Man, when's the last time you cast out a devil out of yourself? Come on, you got to get those devils out of you. You pick them up daily. You know, people tell me, "Well, I got on the wrong side of the bed." No, you got up and shook hands with a devil. And you invited him in, you both had tea, and he took you over. You became dessert. Oh, hallelujah. Now look at, this is powerful with Peter. He's called to be an apostle. Jesus tells him, "Listen, power's yours, man." Then Jesus brings him through some testing, doesn't he? Go to Matthew 14. I know we're just following the life of Peter here. Matthew 14. In verse 28. Now, you know, this is where Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter and the crew are out in the middle of the lake, or the sea, wherever they were. Yeah, the sea. And everything's happening. They ran out of gas. And there was no lunch left. Nothing to eat. And there were surfing waves all over the place. And all the surfers boogied because they were too big. these guys thought they were going to die. In fact, they saw a ghost. And a ghost spoke and said, "Be of courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter said something very profound. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Oh man, Peter's growing. And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He did not walk on the water to go to the shore. He was not trying to escape the storm. He was not trying to escape the sinking of the ship. He was walking to Jesus. If there was any other intention, he would have drowned. What was he doing? Fulfilling his call. And immediately, and of course, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And of course, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and rebuked him. "Oh, you little bonehead. You have little faith. Why did you doubt me?" But you got to give Peter credit, man. Hey, he walked on water for a little bit. Amen. Well, he was fulfilling his call. You know, first of all, he was called, and he was called to be an apostle. He realized he had power. And then the next thing, he's walking on water. He's growing, isn't he? All of these instances are happening. Oh, look at this. Matthew 16, while we're here. Matthew 16 and verse 15. And Jesus said to his disciples, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Man, now he's hearing God from, he's hearing from the Father. We're seeing growth. What's he doing? He's fulfilling his call. God, Jesus was training him up. You know, Peter now was coming to a place where he wanted to become like Jesus. See, that's part of fulfilling your call, is to want to be like Jesus. And of course, now in Matthew 17... what happens to him here is he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now look at the progression of what God is doing with Peter. Called to be a disciple, becomes an apostle, walks on water, confesses Christ as deity. Then he witnesses the transfiguration. Man, you don't think God was preparing him for something? Amen, he was. He witnesses now after 6 days, starting in verse 1, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Whoa. He got to see heaven on earth. He got to see the most glorious miracle that could be, better than someone's leg growing back or anything else. But the King transfigured in who he is. He got to see Jesus who he is. Does everybody understand that? Man. Then what happens? Well, he denies him 3 times. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 26. Well, you know, listen, you're going to go through dry seasons. You're going to go through the wilderness. You're going to go through areas where you think God's left you, but it's actually you who left him. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 26 and verse 69. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in a courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." And he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." When he had gone out of the gateway, and another girl saw him, and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath. He swore that he did not know Jesus. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, because the Lord told him that he would deny him three times and the rooster would crow. That changed something in Peter. And that, right then and there, realized he needed to work out his own salvation. Does everybody understand that? He needed to work it out. He needed to come through. He was devastated. He was tormented. That's why when Jesus appeared, he said, "Make sure you tell Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. Have him come." Amen? Now, Peter denies Jesus three times. Now go to John 21. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus appears to them all. And he was cooking fish on the shore. And he came with them and ate, and they came together and ate breakfast. And in verse 14, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. How many times? Third time. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." Then a third time he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now listen, Peter had just gone through all of these things. And then he gets commissioned to feed God's sheep. That was an honor. What was he doing? Fulfilling his call, wasn't he? But he had to go through things, didn't he? In every area. Now look at, in Acts 1, then what does he do? He leads disciples, doesn't he? He speaks. Go to Acts 1 in verse 15. "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether. The number of the names was about 120, and said, 'Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of all his entrails gushed out. Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that Peter begins to what? Speak publicly. Amen. Begins to speak about the resurrection and about the baptism and about all kinds of things of Jesus. So he begins to lead the disciples now. Then he preaches in Pentecost. Now this is the guy that denied Jesus three times. This was a fisherman with a bad attitude. And then in Acts 3 begins to perform miracles. Oh, hallelujah. Then he was called to minister in Acts 10. What was he doing? He was fulfilling his call, wasn't he? He didn't ask the Lord anymore, okay, what am I supposed to do? He was led by the Spirit. Led, not misled. Now, the Bible tells us if you commit your works to the Lord, it'll establish your thoughts. If you acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He'll establish your steps. You know, too many people move without knowing. It's a terrible way to live as a believer. Moving without knowing. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody okay? Look at all the callings Peter went through, you know? The final result was called to be a minister of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse something. Oh, yes. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You are called for God's glory. You're fulfilling the call of the Lord for God's glory. Is everybody with me? And I want to close with this scripture, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Fulfilling your call. And verse 27. Romans 8, 27. Would you read it with me? Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now wait a minute. If he's making intercession for the saints, that's praying in tongues, according to the will of God, that means you're making intercession for not only yourself, but for someone else to fulfill their call. Does everybody get it? See, that's why it's so important about praying in tongues. How many people would you pray for to fulfill their call? In the natural. Come on, you're too busy asking God for your own needs. So by praying in tongues, you're actually interceding for others to fulfill their calling of God. Now verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are what? Called according to His purpose. So things are going to work to the good no matter what, as long as you have a desire to fulfill the calling of God. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Why? Your glory is in him. Everything, that's why every blessing is glory to him. Everything that comes is glory to him. Fulfilling your call is the ultimate goal of your birth. You were brought into this world to fulfill the call of God. That's why you're alive. That's why you're still here. That's why you're rescued, and that's why you're in this room. Amen. Desire, be willing to do what it takes, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him to fulfill your call. The reward is awesome. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. And Lord, in every area of our life we have fallen short of our calling, we repent. And we ask, Lord, that you'll put us back on track, that we would not be a drag to the body of Christ, but that we would be an asset to the body of Christ, according to your will and your way, Lord. Lord, help us to know our season and calling, not by reasoning, but by trust in you. Again, Master, I apply the blood of the Lamb on the seeds that have been parted. Let them grow and bear fruit for your glory. Keep us positioned to fulfill your call in our life. In Jesus' name.